once again, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Greetings, welcome. Thank you for joining us for the world's best podcast. This is the Downtime Gaming Podcast, the number one podcast destination every other week for news, reviews, and more within the world of board games, video games, anything else fun you can do in your hard earned downtime. On this week's show, we've got lots of stuff. The Game Awards announced their awards. We've got a couple of big Kickstarters, and we've got loads of games we've been playing because tis the season, apparently. Also, there's World Cup action and all that kind of stuff. But we won't get into that. As always, I'm the host. Welcome to the show. Hello, my name is Sam. And across the airwaves is my co-host, Chris. How's it going, man?
It's good, mate. It's good. You hit the nail on the head. Lots of things to talk about. Lots of games. Lots of things coming
so
out.
Much.
It's a bit fucking ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's four games of football every day for people that want to watch it, which is me.
And how many games of Marvel Snap does that become? You know, it must be at least 100 games of Marvel Snap.
You don't need one of your hands to watch football. You can play Marvel Snap at the same time. So yes, basically, I've been watching too much football, playing too much Marvel Snap, and that's about it. Also working. Also, just lots. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I get that. I did finish my badminton course. 9 weeks of badminton. I'm now not a beginner anymore. I'm now an intermediate.
Nice. Intermediate badmintonist. Badmist.
Yeah. Now I need to...
Are you going to join a league?
Not a league. I'm joining like a club. Just with Wednesdays. Because it'd be nice to still keep playing. I'm kind of enjoying it. And I'm also not shit.
Yeah.
So actually it's quite nice.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Badminton seems interesting.
It was funny because our coach was an ex-professional badminton player. He's like an old boy called Terry in his 80s. And yeah.
Oh, right.
He's a little bit eccentric at times.
Still mobile? Has he still got it?
No. I love Terry, but he's definitely not agile. And when he tried to show us stuff, and he'd be like, okay, give me a serve. And then he'd mess up the response, and you're like, ooh, that's not what you want to see, coach.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So wise beyond his years. No, wise for his years, but also can't do it.
No, it's not a young man's sport in the same way that F1 and football are, but still, you know, it's...
Yeah. I was considering how much World Cup to get into, but probably won't get into any of it. This is probably this is the most torn I've been about football tournament in a while. Qatar, terrible choice, obviously. Mm-hmm. Very political currently with all that kind of stuff. But if you ignore all that, and you really shouldn't, but if you do ignore all that, then it's some of the best group stage football action we've ever had. Some of these games have been ridiculous. By game two, there's already must win knockout games. Like last night, Spain versus Germany was already a must win for Germany, or they would have been out, or a must not lose rather. Lots of upsets, lots of cool stuff going on. But yeah, that feeling of the thing I love and actually watching it be incredible is still so tainted with just. Only it was literally anywhere else. Oh, not literally anywhere else, but if this was only, you know, if this was somewhere else, basically.
I've really struggled this World Cup to give a shit. Obviously, I'm not as big a football fan as you and Scott and a few others, but this one, because of all the political noise, because of all the human rights violations, because of everything else, it's really hard to cut through all of that to care.
Yeah. The problem is, it is also very easy to, all the group chats I'm in are just nobody's talking about that. Obviously, because you don't want to just spend every day oh, I wish this wasn't here. It's like, oh my God, did you see Serbia? Did you see blah, 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 blah? And the games are on for us in our time zone. I think this is obviously designed to sway the Europeans because the games here are on at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., 7 p.m. Like literally a third of your day. it's all day. It's literally all day. But today's the last 10 a.m. slot because then the final games of each group, they play the games at the same time so that nobody knows what result they need from an earlier kickoff kind of thing. So group A, both the games will be at the same time, et cetera, et cetera. So lots of cool stuff. Doing okay in the fantasy stuff. I got this that NFT game I play, So Rare. They did a really good free-to-play mode where you draft players using points and then you enter it. And they got up to 500,000 entrants. They actually sponsored it really well. Loads of cool prizes. that I'm doing terribly, absolutely awful. Woof. I was like, I came in so prepared. I was like talking to Jim, and I was like, I was reeling off with these players' names. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing like Pavlovic and like Fedevede, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, I have literally no idea what you're talking about. So I was like, well, I've listened to way too many podcasts and team breakdowns then. I just know random players. And then it all just went to shit, like game week one. It's like, oh, God. I was like, Denzel Dumfries for the Dutch. He's cool. He's like a low draft coin, but like he's going to do really well. And he lost 15 duels in one game and he got like minus 30 points. I was like, how is this possible? Anyway, turns out you can prepare all you want when there's 500,000 people playing one game. It is basically a crapshoot. So still fun, still carrying on. But let's move on to like actual game stuff. Because in the time since you've been away, which has only been 2 weeks, wink, wink, the Game Awards announced all of their Game Awards awardees.
Yes, nominees. They did. Some volatile picks there. Summer.
Yes. So I don't know if we want to just run through all the categories or not, but it's not to just immediately throw the discourse in, but this is very much...
there's a little bit of bullshit here.
No, it's very, very. You can tell that a lot of the show is the trailers, the world reveals, the exclusives, the famous people, just based on the awards. So they've tried to keep the big studios happy. They've tried to keep the people bankrolling them happy. And I know they say, like, you know, Keighley says this is all voted by a board or like blah, 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 but it's that board is presumably like a lot of old school people playing a lot of like, you know, if you've got like people from like Press Square and Kind of Funny and stuff, they're like all PlayStation players. And people like, I know that, you know, you look into some of these things and like various board members are on other various boards and that kind of thing. But it's, yes, some games have not got their due whatsoever. Mostly smaller titles because they don't have massive dollars and massive trailers to give the Game Awards in other years, whereas other big games and other games have, which probably shouldn't. But anyway, the actual full big game of the year, the six nominees are Plague Tale: Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon, Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. So you've got your big Sony game, you've got your two big Sony games, you've got your Sony exclusive, you've got your big Nintendo game, you've got your big Game Pass game, and then Elden Ring, which is the obvious winner. So they've kept the platform holders and the people bringing the trailers happy, I imagine. But this is missing some very obvious games. Also, Stray is nowhere near good enough to be a Game of the Year contender.
No, that's the obvious one. Like, I can see arguments for every other game here why it deserves a spot. I cannot see it for Stray. Yeah. It's been nominated for Best Debut Indie alongside Tunic, which is a great game, alongside Vampire Survivors, also a great game. So Stray sitting in that category, I feel, was fair. But why is it suddenly got Game of the Year category and Debut Indie? For me, it's like, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. If you're including indies in this big award, then Stray is not it. But Stray was the one that was co-published and funded by Sony to go straight onto their live service. They're like the only game that was released day and date onto Sony's new service this year.
I know. So that's the one that really
wins. Funnily enough, it's the one that made the Game Awards. Would you look at that? And it's a cat. People love cats. Like there is maybe some element of just like, oh, it's the cool cat game. And it does have some pretty fun elements if you're a cat owner or like cats. Like the first time you put the harness on it and the cat like goes close to the ground like as a real cat would, and it's, you just look at it and you're like, oh man, that's cool, and it is cute, but it's just a normal bland 7 out of 10 game. There are a lot better games that came out this year, many of them nominated though, so it doesn't really matter. Elden Ring's gonna win.
I mean, probably God of War might, but I don't think it deserves to.
No, that's the one that, again, it might, but from what I've played so far, definitely doesn't deserve to. But it's up there. Not that it came out before the nominees did, but whatever.
Yeah, I know.
It's just a farce, isn't it? Best Game Direction. I've actually got the football covering what these categories are called. Going to move that to there. Best Game Direction: Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and then Immortality. So the running theme here is that basically it's those four games or those three games, and then some other ones weave in and out. Yes. That's narrative. Is a Plague Tale, Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Immortality. I mean, Horizon Forbidden West, I don't want to go too hard into it because I didn't actually play it. But that came out and literally I've not heard anyone talk about it since, like at all, like even remotely. And now apparently it's best narrative, best direction, best game. Like,
the problem that game had was Elden Ring came out a week later. But normally what you'd expect to see is Elden Ring comes out, 3 months pass, people talk about Horizon again because it got missed. I've not seen anyone talk about it. Like, no content creators, no podcasts, no nothing. It's just... It delivered, had five days, it was decent. And then it was a wet fart for the rest of the year. So I was really surprised to see it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. That happened to Zero Dawn as well. They released it and then Breath of the Wild came out. So they did this themselves twice with the same game. But you're right, after Breath of the Wild, people like a couple of months later were like, hey, maybe you should go back and play Zero Dawn. Like, the ending's quite cool and the narrative is actually pretty interesting. But I've not heard any of that for Forbidden West.
No, that's the worst part for me. It's like there's been no reason to go back to it. There's always been something more interesting or something better to play.
Yeah. Yeah, for a year that hasn't seemed like there's been many big titles, my backlog is ridiculous. Like, it's becoming unbelievable. Best art direction is Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Scorn. So it's like games you've heard of before, and then they just throw in a different one. Hey, best score of music, Plague Tale, Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Xenoblade Chronicles 3, and then Metal Hellsinger.
Which, fair enough. Fine. Getting a rhythm game on there for best music, I appreciate them actually putting that on there. Yeah.
I saw people were annoyed that Sonic didn't make this list. Apparently the music direction and just the score in Sonic Frontiers is outstanding. And that game has a lot of problems, but apparently people were pretty shocked.
The music isn't one of them.
And I'm going to stop there because then it goes into best performance, games for impact, all that kind of stuff.
The only one I was going to mention is the best indie category. Best indie.
Okay.
Because that's Cult of the Lamb, Neon White, Seifu, Stray, Tunic. There's some fucking banging games in that list.
Yep.
No.
And three of them are better than Stray. And I've not played Seifu, that might also be better than Stray.
Yeah, no, I really like seeing the indie categories for this. Like, until I can prove that they're not just being bought out. No, that's a bit too harsh. But you know what I mean? Like, the indie stuff means something to me. The best game of the year, it's like, okay, it's the same five games for six categories. Brilliant. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're telling me there's only five games worth talking about in the entire calendar year? Bollocks.
It's just the most well-funded games as well. Like, the biggest, the flashiest games. Yes. But it's weird that Best Debut Indie is different to Best Indie and that it's different games. Also, Best Action Adventure might as well just be Game of the Year because they're all action adventure games.
It's still really popular, isn't it? Action adventure. Yeah.
Is it though, or is it just for these? I mean, yes, definitely.
Yeah, I was gonna say definitely. Definitely.
The best selling games of the year are COD and FIFA, so it's not like the best, is it? Really?
Do you see Pokemon Arceus
got Kirby nominated? Kirby does make it into it. Oh,
did it?
No, it didn't. Best Family.
I mean, I'll take it. That game was so fucking good. Arceus was best role-playing, but it's going to lose to Elden Ring just because.
Yep. Yeah. Any category that's in, it'll win, presumably.
Yeah.
Or it should, anyway. Probably won't win Best Narrative, even though it probably has the best discoverable narrative. It's just not an in-your-face story. So I guess people...
I think Plague Tale could still best narrative. I don't think it'll win Game of the Year. But I think narrative and voice acting are the two it's got a chance to win. Because whether people like the game mechanics or not, that game is a fucking good story and a fucking good bit of voice acting in it.
Yeah. And also best adaptation. So best Netflix series, presumably. So Arcane.
Oh, Arcane. Easily. Arcane smashed it.
And Cyberpunk Edge Runners was very well received, that it actually bumped Cyberpunk, the game, back into like the top five Steam played games. It was that good. Apparently, not seen it, and I didn't finish Arcane yet either. So,
oh, do you not finish Arcane? Ooh,
and then, so good. And then, most anticipated game is just who has a game coming out next year that gave us the most money. Anyway, Zelda, Starfield, Resident Evil 4 remake. Don't know how that got there. Hogwarts Legacy and Final Fantasy 16.
I'm hyped for Resident Evil 4, mate. That gets my vote.
Best esports team doesn't have the winners of the fucking League Worlds in it. It's got the team that came like fourth.
They weren't the best, they were the luckiest.
Who weren't the luckiest?
I'm joking. Trust me, I'm very much taking the piss.
They won every best of five, 3-2. Like, they struggled through, and they, like, a lot of them, they came back from 2-1 down as well to win 3-2. And beating Gen G was crazy. And none of their players are on the best esports athlete either. So Kingen got robbed. Let's move on, because we'll do our own better, more accurate game of the year soon.
Ah, oh, very excited. Very excited.
Yes. Don't know when it'll be, but we'll get it out there at some point.
For people who are interested, go listen to last year's one, where you make some fucking bold predictions. And some of them do not pay off. Some of them do.
Oh, fair enough. I didn't know we made any predictions.
We do what you usually do. We mouth off and then forget about it. And then a year later, you're like, oh yeah, we did say that.
Had a few beers and then that was it. Right, moving on then. Okay, so this week, but coming to a close this week, we have two very big board game / video game Kickstarter adaptation crossover nonsense going on. Two of the biggest video game properties in the world making their way to Kickstarter in board game form. Heroes of Might and Magic 3 and Elden Ring. Huge properties. Heroes of Might and Magic 3.
One much more huge than the other.
You backed Heroes 3, didn't you?
I did back Heroes 3 because I'm a sucker. What more can I say? They've promised me a board game adaptation of a game that defined my childhood. And I want it.
It does look like it. Good iconography, as in basically envisions and makes you think of the game. It's all basically the game. They've done it right. Mm-hmm. But it's a big old box of stuff. What level did you back at? You back at the mega, mega, mega.
Yes. Not the one that comes with the posters and the art book, because I don't give a shit about that for 40 quid. But the one that gets me all of the different factions and the expansions and all of that fun stuff. Because part of the fun of Heroes 3 was playing as different factions. You know? It was like, do I want to play as a Necropolis and go on a bit of like a necromancy rampage? Loads of skeletons, bone dragons, vampires. Do I want to be the good guys and play as the elves? Like, that was the big draw of that game. It's like changing factions and your playstyles. And each faction's unique in what enemy units it has, what heroes it gets, what spells they get. So the game is built on needing more factions. So it's kind of like you have to go all in.
Yeah, and the fact that they've included the different bits in different sets. So it looks pretty modular as far as that. Like the base game is not too bad. What was the base game?
Base game was 75 euro, and it comes with the Tower faction, which is like the Kickstarter exclusive faction they're doing.
Yeah.
But that's no minis. So that would just be with the cards.
Oh, right, yeah. Again, more options are good. The more ways you can buy it at various different sizes and that kind of stuff is pretty cool. The battle expansion looks cool, so it makes the battles actually like the battles.
I know. How cool is that?
It should have just been in the fucking box. Yeah, but it should have just been in the box. It should have just... I don't understand why it would need to be separate, unless they wanted a more simplified version, and then here's the more complicated one, but it looks like the video game.
They've exactly done it for that reason. The base game comes with a simplified battle system, and the Battlefield expansion is very much like... It's going to be big, over-the-top, turn-based tactical fights when you get in a fight. Not everyone's going to want to do that, so I understand why. Yeah. Nice. But like Rampart Faction, Fortress Faction, they've got a new faction they're releasing as well. So it looks like it's going to be one of the remaining four factions released as a last-minute add-on. So yeah, take my money.
Cool. That seems good. Yep. Big old box, and... looks like it stayed very faithful to the game. It's got at time of recording, 26 hours left to go, and it's sitting at £2.6 million. So successful, really tapped into what people like about the property and the games, I guess.
It's a 24-year-old game, man. That's the worst spot. I think Heroes is 96 or 98. And that's a fucking wild amount of money for a 25-year-old IP that's been shit since, like, the mid-2000s, because Ubisoft has done nothing with it. Like,
no, and they changed the way that the games were. There was always 1, 2, 3, and then 4, 5, 6 were different gameplay, and then there was... No, and then 4 was something else, and then 7... Like, there was Heroes, and then there was Heroes of Might and Magic. It was dumb. The way they numbered those games was dumb. But the fact that this is specifically 3 is very good. Maybe they should do 4 afterwards.
4 was not a bad game, but...
It was right. And going on to a new property, Elden Ring was also this week. Only a 10-day timer, which they're trying to... I don't know why they wouldn't do it longer. These things normally run for like 28 days or something. Maybe they just wanted to get the campaign out of the way. Already up to 2.1 million. So hot on the heels of Heroes. Still got 4 days left to go. Elden Ring. It looks good. It's made by Steamforge Games, so you never really know as far as gameplay goes. But again, they've done like loads of different levels. There is a smaller £75 level entry pledge, which gets you like the Weeping Peninsula, which is the very first area of the game. It's kind of like a tutorial. And then the core pledge, £152, is the actual Realm of the Grafted King box. So like everything up to Godric. Loads and loads of minis, loads of books, loads of maps. 2,500 cards in the whole thing if you get the all-in pledge. The all-in pledge is £365.
Oosh. Big oof.
But on top of the Realm of the Grafted King and the Weeping Peninsula, so the first two I just mentioned, you also get the Stormveil standalone expansion, a big old flying dragon, the Erdtree avatar, who is a dope repeating boss. You get Iron Fist Alexander, who's a pot, literally a big pot who talks to you. He's great, great NPC. An extra $100 apparently of exclusive stuff. And it's going to be a $216 discount on retail price. It looks cool. For fans of the game, the tarnished models, all the models look really good. The actual gameplay seems really cool as well, the way it all works from the videos I saw. I didn't download and look at the rulebook, but I looked at a couple of videos and a couple of reviews. Similar to Heroes, like they've actually seemingly taken good bits from the game and translated that into board game form. Like the way the battles are done, it kind of looks like Mega Man Battle Network, where you're on a little grid and they're on a little grid, but then the near, far, and middle rows relate to like kind of stances. So like in Elden Ring, you've got, you know, your two-hand stance or your one-hand stance, so you're either more agile or you're, you know, doing more damage, but you can't block as well. So it seems pretty strategic. It has like two phases, one where you explore the map and do stuff, pick up bits and pieces, get missions, and then you get to the end and then there's like fights and bosses and all that kind of fun stuff. So yeah, seems at first glance like Steamforge have finally made a good game, but I guess we won't know until reviews are actually out, because all of the reviews, which you might not have spotted or people might not spot the first time, the reviews and videos so far were from a bit like a game day, like in video games do, where they invite people around and then play it with them. So they were like guided demos.
Oh, so I missed that as well. Prototype.
Exactly. So nobody's had it in hand without Steamforged employees like there helping them along, which is common for video games. It's not common in board games whatsoever. Normally you get your own time to kind of form opinions. So some of that stuff might be more positive than it would have been otherwise, just because, you know, it's human nature. If somebody from the company is there guiding you through it, you'd like have a slightly more positive experience than you think you would otherwise. But
it removes the balls learning. Like, you know, sometimes like you get bogged down in learning game and it's like, you're always going to streamline the fun. You know, don't worry about understanding the rules. You don't need to. Here's what you do. Oh, look at this epic battle. You can kind of persuade people in the way you set the game up.
Yeah, and if they're like, flipping over cards and going like, oh yeah, we did it, like even subconsciously, like that does lead to a slightly more favorable experience probably. But yeah, it looks good. It looks like a lot of boxes. It is big, it is expensive, and it will make a lot of money as it is already on $2.1 million. It'll probably surpass Heroes.
This is what I'm curious about. Because like, that was the most followed Kickstarter game of all time. And they both only ran for 14 days and 10 days. So I'm really curious, because the middle part is always the slow part. Now, the middle is always the slow part. Like, if you're going to back that game, you've got the money already, or you're not doing it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I haven't backed it yet, but I've got it on that 48-hour reminder.
That's a big difference, the 48-hour reminder, because I only backed Heroes last night after the 48-hour reminder went off.
Yeah, you get the email, it's like, hey, maybe you forgot to spend money on this.
Mm-hmm. It's like,
you are correct, Kickstarter, I did.
It's like, how's your heart? And I'm like, well, I'm clearly buying this, even though rationally it's a waste of money. Because,
yeah, pressing that button basically means, oh, I'm going to do it. Just, I can't, I'll do it later.
Oh, but it was so weird. Like, the two games are really interesting, seeing these two big video game IP board games, very thematically accurate to the games. Both very miniature heavy, both like hex based, large, sprawling overworlds, but combat mechanics. It's just really weird seeing these two games side by side at the same time.
Yeah.
Like,
there's been a lot of big Kickstarters recently.
Last of Us is still running. The Escape the Last of Us, or whatever they called it, that's still running for another few days.
Is that on Kickstarter?
That is on Kickstarter as well. I think there's about 5 days left of that. So there's actually three video game IPs currently running. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Last of Us Escape the Dark is currently on £680,000. It's pretty good for a Escape the Dark board game, but obviously Last of Us.
And £100 for the game with the miniatures. So, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I looked at my Escape the Dark sector, which I think I bought for like £32. And I'm sitting there going, £65 for the base game, plus another £35 for miniatures. I was like, I can't do this.
£65 for the base game of, like, a Dark Sector game, which is, you know, fucking black and white cards which you read and turn over. £65.
That is IPs ridiculous. Are fucking expensive, mate. Yeah.
I mean, it is almost entirely the IP, yes. And it looks like it'll be fun. But I'm not spending £65. I will play it. I'll play it at Expo next year if they've got it set up. I'll sit and play it because that'll be cool. But I'm not buying
it. I'm hoping Rummin buys it. I think Rummin's the catch there.
If there's anyone in our group that's going to do it, it's going to be Rummin.
Yeah.
I backed the Stormlight Miniatures, Stormlight Archive, the books from Brandon Sanderson. I was just checking because I wanted to see what that got to. Now that raised $4.1 million.
Ooh. Very nice.
That's a lot of cheddar. For miniatures based on the characters from the books. That's it. Not even a game. Just here's some miniatures. 4.1 million. People really like the worlds that Brandon Sanderson creates, apparently.
Yeah.
So yes, lots and lots of big Kickstarters at the minute. Go spend your money wisely, which is pay a dollar now, get into the pledge manager, and then pay for it all in January. Hey, or February, because after January's a long month.
Heroes, you got till April to pay. So, yeah.
Nice. Stormlight is end of Jan.
Nice. Nice.
Dark Souls. Elden Ring. I've noticed if you don't do one of the actual pledges now to pay the money, then you won't get the Iron Fist Alexander free mini. So it's not just a Kickstarter exclusive. It is a Pledge Now exclusive. So
that's really interesting.
And the manager. Ooh,
how many people are going to get caught out by that?
Someone do that. I don't know. But I mean, you could still back at the lowest level, which is still £75, but I guess it's kind of a deposit. And then if you do want to get more stuff, you can do later on. But you just make sure you get the Pop Man. And the reason for the whole game is Iron Fist Alexander.
One other Kickstarter I was going to mention. You know the Flat Out Games collection, the collaborations that we do, like Coleco, Cascadia, Verdant. Their latest one, Fit to Print, is actually live for another 11 days, I think. Which is a 1-6 player real-time newspaper editing game that also can be played in teams or in puzzle mode, like turn-based. Hmm. And considering actually the last three it's collaborated with the guy who did Tiny Towns. So the last three collaborations have all actually been really fucking good games. And Fit to Print's currently live, only $29 plus tax, so you're probably looking about 40, which is the same as buying it RRP at the moment for Cascadia, Coleco, etc. So yeah, actually, just thought I'd throw that one out there as another game that's potentially looking really good and actually cheap for a change, which is really nice.
Yeah. Or $5 if you want the print and play.
Exactly.
There you go. Free. Well, not free, $5, but much cheaper.
I'm a big fan of their collaboration works. Like, I love Cascadia. See, last year's game of the year.
I didn't realize they were all... Yeah. I didn't know they were all collabs.
Yeah, I ended up doing a lot more research into it. And it's all collabs. That's why I've got, like, Beth Sobel does the artwork as part of the collaboration unit. It's basically they just want to do games with different people. And this is their new studio that allowed them to do it. Yeah. So super interesting seeing it, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, so fit to print.
Right.
Enough. Spent too much money.
Praising consumerism.
isn't it Christmas coming up as well? Let's go consumerism.
The ultra consumerism festival.
And Black Friday's just been and gone. Spend all the money. Buy a treadmill and get the wrong one delivered to you. Spend more money.
Did that happen to you? Because I know you were getting a treadmill.
Yeah, they sent the wrong fucking one. Livid. I've now got to wait a week and a half to get it returned so I can then buy a new one because... Well, I don't have infinite cash to buy multiple treadmills, do I?
Are they not just going to send you the right one? Do you have to actually get it completely returned and done?
Amazon suck. Emma had to...
Who is it?
It was through a third party via Amazon. So Emma had to play the, I'm a young girl who owns a small car. I can't put the treadmill in a car and take it to the post office for a collection.
Fair enough. And that worked.
So, yeah, consumerism's great, mate. Amazon is not.
No, Amazon sucks. Mm-hmm. Fuck Amazon.
Mm.
Speaking
we're
of,
burning the wrong Amazon.
Yeah, I saw that. Somebody
posted it. It was a good picture in Berlin, wasn't it? Yeah, I like that.
That was the one. Yeah, Berlin. They projected it onto Amazon's offices.
I don't come up with original jokes, mate. I just recycle memes and internet.
Nope. Oh, you just hope that somebody you're talking to hasn't seen it before. But I live on the internet, bitch. I've seen it all.
You walked into the internet. I grew up in it.
Whenever Matt posts something, I'm like, I saw that 3 days ago, you fuck.
Why is that a Facebook link, you fucking old man?
Imgur? You got that from Imgur? They stole it from Twitter, which took it from Reddit. I've been here before.
You don't even know what 9gag is yet.
Right, my what? Dog? No, anyway, moving on. Right. Shall we move on to games we played? Abrupt changing of subjects. It's been a while. Games we played. Could be old, could be new, etc. Could be good.
Could be fucking great.
What have you been playing? Oh yeah.
Are we doing this now? Are we
Yeah, crack on.
So God of War? No. Vampire Survivors. Vampire Survivors. Now that is a good game. I know you spoke about it back on PC back in June. I think you got a little bit into it.
I think it was earlier than that.
Yeah. They've added a lot of content to that game since you last spoke about it. And with it coming on Game Pass.
I'll find in the group chat. I'm sure I put it in a chat to say, I like Vampire Survivors. It's very good. And nobody listened to me. And now you guys are all over the Vampire
Survivors. No, I played it back on PC probably for about 4 hours a few months ago. But I just don't play PC games often, do I? I just don't have a good laptop. It's just never the right way for me to play games. But playing on console, so when you're sitting back on a controller, don't even need to think, mate. It's one of those games. You can just relax while you're playing it. And it's mental. It's so good. It doesn't deserve to be that good. I'm shocked at how good that game is, actually.
I can't find it. Sorry. Carry on. You just talk. It doesn't matter. It came out on PC at the start of the year. It came to Game Pass in November. Not that really fucking mattered, because it's $3. But I guess it coming to Game Pass means there's a console version. So.
And it's a console version I'm happy with. Like it just feels so good. It just feels so good in a controller. Yeah. It's like, what buttons do I need? Oh, the left analog stick to move and the A button to select my level up rewards. That's it. There's your buttons for the day, mate. Yeah. Don't worry about it. You don't need a single other button on the controller. And it just looks like shite because it's a pixel game. It doesn't look that great, but it runs incredibly well. Right,
until the last few minutes in a run when it's just like, what the fuck is going on? Everything's exploding. Things are popping off.
I'm shocked how well it runs. Like, I've had moments in a game where I'm like, how are you running this smoothly? I'm expecting you to stutter. Like a Dynasty Warriors game back in the day, I'm expecting something to go wrong, and it doesn't. It's just polished.
Yeah. It's like when people say, like, oh, it looks like it run on a SNES. It's like, nope.
Yep.
Like, it definitely could not run on a SNES.
You try getting eight different weapons, like 10 different accessories, if you saw a screenshot, enemies appearing around you constantly. Yeah, nah.
If you saw a screenshot of one of the characters, you'd be like, okay. Fine, this is pixel art. This is a bit snazzy. But like, the second you see it running, it's like, okay, no. This has got way more pixels than it has any right to at the same time.
And like, pixel perfect as well. Like, I've noticed, like, even like your hitbox and stuff, it's so polished. Like, all the little details you want in that sort of game.
Yeah. Loads of characters, loads of unlocks. You know, there's challenge. There's hundreds of challenges. Constantly adding new content, as you mentioned. Like, we were playing it, and like literally they patched it and just added two new challenges with achievements. Like on Thursday, it's just constant stream of stuff. Every run is maximum 30 minutes ish, at least when you start out.
Anyway. Ooh, so,
very addictive. But you start out like 10 minutes, and then it's got the great thing that all fucking roguelets have, which is, you know, you get the gold, which you use to unlock more stuff. You get new characters. You could do more runs. There are a couple different levels. And every time you're like, okay, well, next time I really want to get this weapon. I really want to do this and evolve this. Or I really want to get this far with this person or blah, 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 blah. And it's just, it's super addictive.
It's so addictive, and it's so good at drip feeding new content. Like I find whenever I finish a run, it's always give me a little new carrot. So I've never found myself getting to a point where, so what am I doing next? There's like, okay, there's too much to do next. What do I do? You know, do I try to save up to get some better items? Do I try to get a new character? You know, like, do you try to work out how to evolve the weapon? Because evolving weapons is a boss mechanic. It's such a good mechanic.
Yeah, you have to evolve the weapons. But yeah, you're right. I don't think I've ever... sorry. Brazil just scored, and it just got ruled out for offside. It didn't even look like it was offside, because it was an offside like three passes earlier in the play, so nobody thought it was offside, but then it got ruled out. Anyway. I'm definitely not watching football at the same time. Referred to earlier in the podcast, when I talked about how obsessed I am with watching this.
Anyway, I know. I barely hear from you outside of talking about Vampire Survivors, or you talking about football.
I can talk about God of War. But yeah, I don't think I've even got to a point yet where I finish a level and I haven't unlocked something. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, those challenges. Like, it's something. It'll be like, oh, you did 10 minutes to this person. I was like, oh, you got this to level, blah. Like, I can see you'll get there eventually, maybe, but I haven't, unless I like do something stupid and die within like 6 minutes, like I haven't ever finished a run and it not give me a new item or a new weapon or a new character or something else to do or a new level, right?
Yeah.
New relic,
new like intro options, like new game modes. Like, you unlock the bestiary, you unlock your collection, you unlock the grimoire, you unlock a map. I didn't even think about that game having a map. And when I unlocked it, I was like, this is fucking game-changing. I can actually see there is somewhere to go now.
Yeah, and those maps are massive. It's just a repeating tile set of incredibly small tiles. Like, so it is very, 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 very samey. But if you go really far in one direction, you might find a casket with a new character in it.
Mm-hmm. Or later on, you start getting other items added to the map. Have you got to that point yet?
Well, the actual items, yeah. They are there. They're there. Without the map, you just don't know where they are. What items are you talking about?
There's some special items.
Oh, then no.
Yeah. I admit, I'm probably about 20, 24 hours deep in this game, if I had to estimate.
Jesus.
It keeps throwing secrets at you, and there's more things to unlock. And I've not spoke to you or Scott about it in the chat, because I don't want to spoil shit. But there's about 5 or 6 things I really want to talk about. And I'm just waiting for somebody to find the yellow sign so I can then have a conversation with somebody about it. Because that game has a weird bit of depth behind it that I didn't expect, that I very much appreciated.
Yeah, it does. Things just keep happening.
Yeah, really good game. I was meant to be playing God of War instead of this. And every time I have an opportunity to do both, I have played Vampire Survivors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a reason for that, like, because I mostly play in the evenings. Finn's not been too well, so we've been a lot of like up and down and that kind of stuff. So pausing Vampire Survivors and coming back to it 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, an hour later, like, it doesn't really matter. But I do feel like a narrative game like God of War, you don't want to play in 5 minute chunks, 10 minute chunks. Like that stop starting in that game kills it. Whereas stop starting Vampire Survivors is completely irrelevant. Same with Marvel Snap, 3 minutes, I can just play that. So I've been getting in a lot more short form games recently. I did play like an hour of God of War yesterday. I think I'm up to about 12, 13 hours.
Okay. You're further than I am. I'm about 5 hours in.
Okay, yeah. It's fine.
I mean, like, it's...
Do you want me to carry on, or do you want to talk about God of War? Shall I talk about God of War?
I mean, what do you want to do? I think you should talk about God of War, unless you've got anything to say about Vampire Survivors, which isn't just people need to play it, because it's a really deceptively good game. All right.
Yes, play Vampire Survivors. If you've got Game Pass, it's on Game Pass, it's on console, it's on the Xbox app if you have Game Pass on PC. If you don't, it's on Steam, and it's $5 now. You missed your $3 window, it's now $5, but the amount of content is just absurd. Mm-hmm. Like, play Vampire Survivors, and give it a chance. Like, it looks shit. Well, the screenshots look shit. Like, and maybe even a video would look shit if you look at a video. Maybe even your first run will seem like, what is going on? But it's very, very, very addictive beyond that. So give it a chance, and you might be surprised.
Agreed.
God of War. It's more God of War. It's the same game as the last game, but more of it. More. In all the good ways, all the bad ways, it's this annoying thing that when everyone talks about this game on podcasts and reviews and everything's like, they always preface it by saying like, it's a very well-made game. Obviously a lot of attention has gone to it. Oh, it looks amazing. Oh, it runs incredibly well, which as we were talking the other day, in this day and age it's good that it runs.
Yep.
But you shouldn't have to praise a game for fucking working, but God of War works. Mm-hmm. I had absolutely zero issues. Everything runs perfectly. Works fine. Other than that, it's just the same game. Like, I mean, I loved God of War. It was probably one of my best games of last generation. Yep. This feels like the pinnacle of PS4. Like, this is a very good PS4 game. This is not a PS5 game. It's not anything different. It's nothing new. I like the characters. I like the story. I want to see what happens. Like, but as far as combat, game structure, the way you play it, even the worlds are the same. Characters are the same, but you see more of them. So there's a lot of different people coming in and out as well, like some of the new characters as well. So it is a good mix of like interesting and intriguing and, we've done this before. We know what we're doing. Even like you go to a new area and then there's like 3 or 4 new areas in. And there's like these plants that emit poison and you have to throw your frozen axe at them and then the poison stops coming out. And even the characters is like, oh yeah, remember that? These are just like the same ones from the other era and that we used to do. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, it's just the same mechanic from the first game. You've just,
but now your characters even alluded to it. It's okay.
It's exactly the same. It's like, oh yeah, because you made this funny jibe, they're like, it's okay. But like, no, you just wanted to do the same puzzles again and it's the same puzzles again. Within like 2 hours, you know, it starts very linear, story beats, some good stuff. And then, yeah, within 90 minutes, 2 hours, you're in a canoe, you're paddling around a pool, side missions, there's stuff to do. And like, that bit is cool. Like, you know, going to different areas. The side missions are really good.
The side missions are very good.
Stuff and all that kind of shit. But functionally, game mechanically, game setup, everything, it's just more God of War. And I don't mean to be so derogatory in that term. I'm not one of them. Oh, it's just DLC. Because obviously it is an insanely expensive and insanely well-made game. And, you know, sequels used to be sequels. Like, this is a sequel. Like, you can't expect it to be completely different. But when you go from one generation to the next, you kind of hope that it's better in more ways than just more of the same. And this is very much just more of the same. So far, maybe it changes. But I'm not trying to find the chests. I'm not looking for the birds. I'm not doing any of that really. If I see one, I'll do it. I'll hit the 3 runes. I'll open the chest like I did 100 times in the first game. If I see an Odin's Raven, I'll throw an axe at it like I did 50 million times in the first game. But I'm not actively searching those things out. The side missions that are like the proper side missions, which is where some of the good content is, I'm doing those. But yeah, I'm not. I'm just kind of moving along. Good, but not great. Or great, but not revolutionary. But maybe it never pertained it to be revolutionary. So maybe it's a bit of a harsh critic to give it. But as you say, maybe it's where I am and what I need to be playing right now. Or if it's just I just don't care enough to actually play this that much. but I've played so much Marvel Snap in the last 2 weeks and an excessive amount of Vampire Survivors, and I've only played 12 hours, 13 hours of God of War, and it's been out for like 3 weeks
now. It's really hard. Like, I said a very snap judgment to you and Scott that if this is a Game Pass game, I probably would have uninstalled. But I've really struggled to get back into it. Like, okay, so just really to give you an idea of how much I've struggled to get back into it, I've played As Dusk Falls, I've played Pentiment, I've played Vampire Survivors, I've 100%ed Plague Tale Requiem, I've gone and played board games, I finished Chandler's Autobiography. I've had nothing but opportunity to play this game, or make opportunity to play this game, and yet I haven't. Yeah. So at what point do you go, was it just I'm not the right time for it? Was I just only buying it because of the God of War / Game of the Year discussion that I felt the need to get it now? Or is it just actually because it's more or less the same game and there's stuff that feels fresher, that's more exciting and different, that I'm more interested in right now, that I'd rather play that? Yeah. Is it a backlog game? Would this have been better for me in 6 months when it got to like spring, summer, there's no games to play, and I got to sit down and really like sink some time into it and enjoy the story and the slow crawl that the game is, rather than at the moment where I wanted something snappier.
Yeah. There's so many games on the backlog. You do feel like you kind of need to get to them, or you want to play things that are maybe a bit snappier. Yeah, you're right. But it's the kind of thing where you need to be in the mood for a like heavy narrative game. And because the combat's so meh, it's fine.
The combat's good, but it's not better. It's not better fine. Than the last God of War. That's the only criticism I have there. The combat was so good in 2018. It's still good now. And I know sometimes that's fine.
I don't think it's that good. It's fine. It depends how much you engage with it. Like, because I barely use the other ones, the Blades of Chaos. I just use the axe, throw the axe at people, punch people, use the axe again. Like, and you can get through the game. You can beat all the bosses. That's fine. You don't really need to. Maybe there's combos and maybe there's stuff to do. But maybe there's not. So I don't know. It's fine. It's fine.
I've been swapping a lot. I think because both of them have that if they're burnt, they take more frost damage. If they're frozen, they take more burn damage.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes
I was trying to play that style where I was like, okay, I'm going to freeze this guy, flip over to the blade, pow, pow, pow. Once he's on fire, slap him with the axe, which it's also
all
quite,
I do with
it's
blades
quite
is
intensive.
Like, I want.
It's quite intensive playing it like that. It's not relaxing. It's very like, my twitch reflexes aren't that good playing it like that. And I think Weikart said it really well in Fire Escape. Like, there's too many button combinations. I don't remember them all. You know, I struggle to remember all the different moves I've unlocked.
There is a lot. And some of it doesn't even tell you. Like, I do not know how to summon Atreus's summon thing. Mm-hmm. Could not figure it out. Like, it's in the menu. I can equip a different one. I've got like a boar and a deer or some shit. Don't know. Don't know how to do it. Like, there's an L1 and circle activate some amulet. Completely forgot about that until I got a new one just now. Like 6 hours of not doing that at all. Like, there's just so much stuff. The menus are a fucking mess as well.
Oh, the menus are so shit. And also pressing square for Atreus's bow. Like, I forgot how much I hated doing that in 2018 and I accepted it. But doing it again,
I just hammer it three times and then wait a minute and then hammer it three times and then wait a minute. I'm not using it like strategically whatsoever.
I know, but that's what I mean. You just spam it. It's like you could basically have the control in my hand and just have like a bloody pecker's head just pressing square repeatedly and that'll do exactly what I need it to do.
Just whenever you're ready, please press square. You should be able to like auto it. Just like, just shoot stuff when you're ready.
And like, I know what they said about the, I've seen so many memes about this as well. You've come to a puzzle for the first time. I hope you enjoy not working out while Atreus walks ahead of you to the right pathway and then tells you the clues over and over and over and over.
So gross. Yeah. That is so bad. I thought like when they mentioned it on the pod that I'd, Fire Escape before I played the game, I was like, oh, I'm going to notice it now because you pointed it out. I bet it's not that bad. Holy shit, you notice it within 1 minute of a puzzle. It's not even. Sometimes you don't even get into the puzzle area. Mm-hmm. You walk into a room and Atreus is like, oh man, look at the floor. You can jump through that if you get up high enough. It's like, for fuck's sake, I didn't even see that bit yet. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
So, that looks like there's a chest over there as he walks over in that general direction. I'm like, okay, this is too simplified now. Like, the game's combat can be really hard if you want it to be hard. But also, it's really easy. Like, you're just button mashing, not like being derogatory, but you're just like, as you said, use the axe, throw the axe, punch, grab the axe.
I'm doing combos. I'm just not engaging with one entire skill tree. I don't want to learn the axe and the blades, someone using the axe.
No. It's a really interesting game that I think could be a good game in there. Whether or not it's a good game for me right now is the problem I have. No.
The menus are bullshit. Like, I don't read any of the armor. It's just too much. Because I know that, like, upgrades, all that nonsense.
It's
like,
irrelevant.
There's no point, because you'll get a new piece of armor and it'll be better than the old one, regardless of upgrades. So you might as well just save it until you get the bit at the end and then upgrade that. So I'm not really doing most of that stuff. But yeah, so as you say, it's a good game in them. And I really think it is, like, the pinnacle of PS4. Like, I don't know if that makes sense or is derogatory or not, but, like, this should be like the PS4 swan song, but it uses a lot of last gen. This will be derogatory. Uses like a lot of PS3, you know, level design and like game mechanic pieces that were okay in the first God of War, because that was 6 years ago, whatever it was, and it's well fine tuned. But it's just it's another one of those. So you'll like it if you like that, and if you didn't like the first one, then you not only will you be completely lost at the plot of this, which follows on straight away with almost no recap, you also will.
I did feel a bit lost. I watched they did like a trailer you could watch of the last game synopsis, but you had to click on that before starting the game.
Oh, I did that, but it's fucking really badly
done.
It
is, isn't it? It is really badly
for
done.
For some reason, it's like pictures on the wall of a cave, like, and lit by torches. So it's all brown and you can't really see it. It's like, why didn't you just show a fucking trailer in 4K, you dumb fuck? Like, I understand you want to be like immersive or whatever, but this is the main recap of the story for people that haven't played it. Like, it doesn't have to look all like, oh, it's being projected on the wall of the cave. Like, fuck off.
Well, 40, 60 hour RPG that I might not have time to complete again before playing the sequel. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. That pissed me off before I even started the game.
Oh, no. Okay. You keep saying it's a PS4 game. I'm playing the PS4, by the way, just for people listening. I'm playing PS4. That is also jarring my impression of this game. Like, I forgot how bad that fucking fan was in a PS4 when you're trying to play a game.
Does it take off? Is your PS4 like sailed out of the room yet?
I can't play it when Emma's home. Because it's so loud, it actually pisses us both off in the house. And I found myself playing it the other day with my headphones on, volume high enough that it started to be too loud, and I could still hear the fan noise through the headphones. Oh, I'm like, God. So that is also frustrating me a bit. So, like, it's a really good PS4 game, but I wouldn't recommend playing it on a PS4.
It's the pinnacle of PS4 on PS5.
It's like, even when you die, and it takes like 30 to 45 seconds to come back to life. And it's like, this life again? I'm so spoiled with having a next-gen console that loading times aren't really a problem anymore.
Yeah, it's about 10 seconds on PS5.
45-second load time. Enough time to pick up your phone, load up anything else that isn't the game, get bored of what you're doing, and then go back. And it's like, how am I meant to stay engaged in this game when I'm fucking being pulled out of it constantly?
Yeah. So anyway, good game. I really hope it doesn't win Game of the Year. Not that the Game Awards now is, I guess it's seen as the main one, and it really is, because he's turned it into like this Oscars thingy, but it'll be a little bit of a farce if it does, considering how ridiculous and revolutionary Elden Ring was.
Honestly, Elden Ring deserves a dub. But for me, Plague Tale's up there. But I also respect that that's not everyone's cup of tea, doing a stealth action adventure game as Game of the Year. It doesn't hit the criteria. Yeah. But Plague Tale Rec Room, which I don't think we spoke about here yet, was just a very good game, man. It's a very good game.
I think we spoke about it after you'd played about 10 hours, but not after you'd finished it.
It's good.
Did we do a follow-up?
I don't think we did the follow-up.
I remember because I was asking you specifically if I could play it without playing the first one, and you said probably not.
Now I finished it? No, you can't. Annoyingly. No, exactly. You can't.
You want
like,
that,
the way that story unfolds and ends, you'd be remiss not to play the first because the impact of it and how well done it was and how much it made a difference. Like, you need the extra game before it. And I hate the fact I have to say that, because the Plague Tale 1 isn't as good as the second. Rec Room is 100% an upgrade on, like, the combat, the stealth, the level design, the map design. Like, it's just better in every way. But going back to play the first now, it's a really good game. It also has some flaws. So it might be one you just find a synopsis online. Just find someone who's done a video on YouTube for an hour and then play Rec Room. That could be a way of getting in there and doing it.
I'm sure there will be. I had the first one downloaded on my Xbox for like a year, and I just never got around to playing it, and I deleted it.
Yeah, because like...
But I think, maybe like a YouTube, maybe a Let's Play or something. Oh, no, because I have to watch the gameplay. Maybe a story catch-up, something like that.
Because I will say Rec Room deserves a spot, in my opinion. Now, that is definitely up there as one of the best narrative experiences. It's really good, dude. Like, it's really, really good.
That's fair. That one didn't stand out as much to me as some of the other ones.
No, so. And I know it's not one for you and Scott. I know I'm preaching to the wrong audience. But my God, I had such a good time. Yeah. And that was competing with God of War for me. I completed Rec Room, right? And then decided I wanted to do a second playthrough to mop up all the achievements instead of playing God of War. This is what I mean by I'm really struggling.
You'd rather play another game again.
I played Rec Room twice all the way through before I got to hour 6 of God of War. Yes, like, I know. Yeah. It's a bit ridiculous. But yeah, definitely a really good game. I won't probably talk about it more here because maybe it comes up in my top 5. Who knows?
Probably, based on what you just said. But there's also games coming out, which is ridiculous. Like the Warhammer game. Dark Tide comes out on Friday.
Yes.
As does Midnight Suns from Firaxis, the XCOM people, made a Marvel turn-based game. The Final Fantasy comes out in a couple of weeks as well. The Zack game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on.
And like, the thing is, like, we've had some amazing games. That Pentiment rated really well. I've got about
not had time
two hours into it so far. It is a slow game. Like, if you're going to sit there and play it, I don't think you could play it now based on... It's a game you could pause, but I think you get pulled out too quickly and it would annoy you because you don't get to see the decisions and stuff.
Yeah. It seems like the kind of thing you want to complete in like 2, maybe 3 sittings. You want to just do it.
I don't know how long it is, actually. How long is it? I've not looked into it.
Only about, probably about 8 hours.
Oh,
I think similar to like Inscription, like that wouldn't have been very good. Like that whole last 2 hour section, you really had to just sit and absorb that into your fucking eyeballs because it was insane. Like having to pause that and come away would have been massively to that game's detriment.
Yeah.
And I feel like Pentiment, not quite the same level because there's not as much insane shit going on, but it is that kind of story-based game.
I think you're right there. Like, I was really enjoying it, to be honest. I got about hour and a half in, and the first 30, 45 minutes is just kind of building up, letting you develop your character classes, your traits, your personality styles. And I know that is a talkie-talkie game. So I've basically got that and Vampire Survivors. So I've got my Dewey Dewey game and my talkie-talkie game running concurrently.
Yeah. Everything you need.
Yeah.
You don't need more than that.
No, but I'll probably finish that, actually, Pentiment.
Yeah, and I definitely want to give it a go. As long as, along with everything else, I do want to play Dark Tide on Friday.
I know.
God damn it.
I've still got to play Two Point Campus. I've got to play, I actually do want to play Stray still. I've not played Stray yet. And I've got to do some house sitting for my brother, and they've got Stray set up on their PC.
I get
to play it for free. So, of course, I'm going to play it.
Nice. Yeah, it's not long, so might as well finish it.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you have anything else? I don't think I do, games-wise. Not for games I play, anyway.
No others? Ooh.
Da-da, da-da, do-do-do-do-do-do.
I felt like I'd played more. And then when you outline it like that, I'm like...
I could talk about Marvel Snap more if you want. It's very good.
Yeah.
Everyone should play Marvel Snap. It's free. You can't buy new cards either, so it's not like card packs and that kind of nonsense. It's just free.
Did you play as Dusk Falls early in the year, by the way?
No. I found that on my Xbox the other day, doing a bit of a cleanup.
It's more of a Telltale style game, but they've got some really cool options. Really. Like you can play it for your mobile. You can get other people mobile to make some decisions with you and stuff. So it does some cool stuff in the space.
Kind of like voting.
But
kind of
stuff, I ended up finishing the first two. Like Emma was absolutely knackered, so I just put it on and was like, let's do an interactive story. You know, I want to play this game and at least this is where you get involved. So I played the first two missions of it. And so far, it's actually quite a good story. Like, I'll feedback how it goes by the end of it. But actually, the story has been really interesting so far. Like, I felt like my choices have mattered. And there's a lot of different outcomes, challenges, specific moments. So it's just one of those interactive stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a very cool little game that I think got forgotten about.
But I think that's it for things we played. So yeah, Darktide, and then straight into Game of the Year stuff at some point.
How are we going to do it? Game of the Year individuals, Game of the Year podcast, little bit of column A, little bit of column B.
Probably stick to the column A. I do like the column B, but it's, I don't think all of us have played enough of all of everything, if you know what I mean. Like, it'll be too much of, I really like this. And it's like, okay, well, I've not played that. And I really like this, well, I've not played that. So it's like, okay. We're not actual journalists. We don't sit and play every game that comes out. Right. So unless we prepared a list of, I think this will come up, you should play these five games, which way too late for that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to play Plague Tale. I've not played the first one. You're not going to play Citizen Sleeper because it's mostly text and you've got better things to play.
The only one I could see is if you did a column A and then did a top three for the site.
I mean, it's Elden Ring's Game of the Year. So.
Yeah, I know, but what's second and third, more importantly? Yeah, I mean, Elden Ring spot. And I'll concede on it. Do you know what? I'm not even going to pretend otherwise. I'll easily concede on that. At least I can respect the game for what it did, even if it's not for me. Yeah.
Yeah, this is fair. Yakuza 4 is pretty good. Anyway.
Oh, God, Sam, I didn't tell you yet. I got to play some Wildermyth back from 2021.
Some what, sir?
Wildermyth.
I don't know this.
Wildermyth. Oh, it was a game that was really well rated last year, but just never got around to playing it. It's like a turn-based tactical RPG, Steam/PC. But each of the characters has a unique story. And you'll be like a warrior, mage. It's very fantasy tropey. But you can also play it with multiplayer and have different people playing as each of those individual characters in the party. And then as you go through, you've got like the overworld map where enemies are invading you and you can choose what to scout, explore, and then go to the turn-based gameplay in between.
I vaguely remember this.
I was looking for brother.
Is it good?
Looking for games to play with my brother. And it's really good, Sam. It's really good. I'm only about 5 hours deep, but that game is deceptively decent.
Cool.
Yeah, so some old school turn-based RPGs.
Steam list. How do I do that? Later, I will put it on my Steam list, or I'll forget about it entirely. Who wants to play some money? What's going to happen? No, it looks pretty cool. Similar to a little bit like Armello, but also a bit like Darkest Dungeon. So play those games as well. Good games.
Yeah. Fuck Game of the Year games. There's some decent other games out there.
It's some absolute belters.
Like Heroes of Might and Magic 3.
Smaller stuff. Oh, yeah. And Yakuza 4 Remastered.
Have you not finished Yakuza yet? Are you still going on that?
I can't. I did the thing. As soon as I finished 4, I just installed 5. But I don't have time to play it right now. Too much other stuff. I really need to finish God of War because I paid for it.
This is,
and I want to unpay for it.
Unsubscribe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, do you know what I play? Pokemon Violet or Scarlet?
Definitely not.
I've been hearing that the game is actually a decent game, but do not play it right now. Like you can't.
No.
The amount of money they've made, it doesn't even matter. Voting my wallet means
wait
fuck
a year.
All. Like.
Wait a year. I think that's probably the best bet.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit in it for half a year and then maybe they put a patch out to make it less shit. Maybe they won't.
It won't get cheaper, so yeah, you're just waiting for the patch at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, which is a real, real not surprise to anybody.
Damn it, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks for stopping in, everybody. We had some good stuff. Game Awards, board games, lots of video games played. Game of the Year coming up. We're going to have some cool long shows. Probably do just similar to last time. There'll be one long video game episode. There'll be one long board game episode. It'll be festive. We'll be checking in sometime around the turn of New Year. I've been umming and ahhing. I know you guys were talking about times and dates and I didn't reply, but like I think I'm busy a lot of those days. And then I'm trying to factor in fucking Darktide, Midnight Suns and a few other close releases.
Oh,
to
God,
see
Midnight Sun
get.
As well. Like, yeah.
Trying to think how far and if Scott wants to play the Final Fantasy or not. And that's December 8th. That's maybe a bit late. So we will see how things go. But yeah, everyone look forward to that. If you want to send us questions, emails, send them to contact@downtimegaming.com. Reach out to us, downtime_gaming on Twitter and Instagram. We'll send you cool pictures of stuff if you send us questions. Maybe, maybe not.
Did we have a question a few weeks back?
We did. I was just about to mention that and then I thought, best not. One day. We'll do that next week. We'll do that as our pre-Christmas question.
We should probably do a bit of Christmas ideas.
Yeah, fun Christmas stuff. Send us fun Christmas stuff to put on the Christmas episodes. I think we'll try and do less rambling for hours and more pointed stuff, more fun stuff. But yeah, send us those, all those aforementioned ways to send us stuff. And yeah, wish you a great week ahead. Stay safe out there. We'll see you the same time next time. Cheers.
Been a pleasure. See ya. Taking it easy. Taking it easy.